talking to earlier this morning, but maybe there are others involved in gathering and collecting those. If you're interested, check in with Kara, or just you can bring them to the church office, and we'll see to it that they get to the families and the individuals who also lost nearly all of their personal possessions in that fire. So it's just a great way for the body of Christ to come together and demonstrate the love of Christ in a very, very meaningful and practical way. So we encourage you to consider still doing that. So the ushers are going to come at this time, and I would just say again, it's our honor and privilege to give back, to give out of our commitment to this local body to support the interests of this church. If you're a guest or visitor with us today, you can put something in that offering plate, but that is not our expectation, okay? Just want you to know that you have a disclaimer to just pass it along down the row. We're grateful for everything that comes in because it gets put to good use, like you just heard. Okay, let's pray. Father, it's a beautiful morning with the cool rains. It's beautiful because you're in it. Each day you have made with purpose and value and meaning. And regardless of maybe some personal discomfort, we're grateful. Grateful that you send the seasons, that you send the rains, that you bring the harvest, that you provide for us in every possible way. We are so grateful, oh God. We pray now that you would minister your power and your healing and your comfort to families who are hurting, to those who are struggling with disease. We continue to lift up the Colin Brander family and families impacted by the fire a week ago. And we just pray that you, oh God, would meet their needs beautifully and generously by the acts of your hand through your people. Thank you now, Lord, for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been slowly working through a series this fall out of the book of James. So if you have your Bibles, if you'd turn to James chapter 1, we're going to be picking up at verse 19 this morning as we finish chapter 1 today. Let me just briefly remind us where we've been. And then we'll pray as we read the text this morning. What we have discovered so far in this study in James is that God is sovereign in all our trials. Nothing comes to us without first passing through the Father's hands. That is both encouraging and a little bit personally discomforting. Perhaps you've been through experiences where you think, wow, God must think I've got more faith than I think I do. Because you've walked through some deep waters. But typically the experience of a follower of Jesus is that it's not while you're walking through it that you are experiencing all these wonderful discoveries. It's after you've walked through it and you realize that God's hand was there and that He was walking with you, and you found strength for the moment, and you found a renewed sense of hope in the result. Well, within that, underneath that, God's sovereign in all of our trials, we learn to grow in His likeness as we endure them. We learn to trust in His wisdom in the process. So He helps us gain wisdom in the midst of the struggle. We learn to rely on His resources to get us through them. And ultimately, we learn to live for His reward, which is an eternal one, which tells us, as the Apostle Paul says, these light and momentary afflictions, meaning the struggles of this life. We all have them. If you're a believer and you somehow came to faith thinking that if you just trust in Jesus, life would be hunky-dory, lovely, the rest of the ride, just waiting to go home to heaven. Somebody sold you a bill of goods. It was not the Christian faith. Jesus wants us to know that in this world we will have trouble, but to not be afraid, because He is with us, and He is faithful, and He will never leave us or forsake us. So that's a little bit of what we've learned so far. Today's text begins at verse 19. Let's ask God to once again help us with understanding as we listen. Jesus, let Your word be enriched into our very lives. Let us not just hear it. Let us not just nod our heads in assent. Let us understand that You are giving us clear and direct marching orders, that our lives can't be the same if we're walking with You. We cannot rely on our own strength, our own wisdom, on our own energy. We need You, Lord, to light the way down our path, and then to give us the correct path to follow. We thank You that You're going to do that because You're faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word. And so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. There's a phrase that came out a few years ago, and I almost hesitate to say it because it can be spoken pretty flippantly, but it in fact captures the heart of this text. Don't just talk the talk. You must walk the walk. There is nothing in Judeo-Christian culture, nothing in the scriptures that ever indicates that it's fine to just believe what you believe and live however you want. Just doesn't work. Not in God's economy. These aren't instructions from some rule book that you'd choose, pick and choose which to follow. The Decalogue in Exodus were not the 10 suggestions. They're the 10 commandments. God sets a high mark for us, knowing that there will be times when we fall short, which is meant to help us understand that without His strength and His help and His wisdom and His encouragement, we utterly fail. It was never meant to be ever a checklist that somehow you could attain to it. And God would honor you in that. So this section of the scripture basically talks about how God's word gives us a walking path for obedience. And I'm really going to spend most of my time with that one verse, verse 19. And I want to just tease out a little bit, what does it mean to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry? Quick to listen. Pretty simple instruction. Quick to listen. The reason our wonderful Creator designed us with two ears and one mouth. You should have twice the capacity to hear, to listen, to pay attention than to speak. We have a phrase that we have been working on in the chaplain residency at Bronson. And I'd like for you to think about this. We're training to listen to understand, not to respond. Listen to understand, not to respond. Think about how many conversations you get involved in with someone. And when someone else is speaking to you, you're catching just enough so that you can prepare what your response is going to be. Whether it's agreement or rebuttal, you're listening only partially. You're not really actively listening. You're not paying close attention. See, a definition of active listening is listening well enough that if you had to, when the other person finishes speaking, you can literally almost repeat exactly what they said. In fact, some have suggested that in early counseling experiences, that's a really great way to make sure that you're hearing what is being said, is that you repeat it back. It sounds elementary. But why is it so many of us have trouble doing that? It's really easy to think that the most important thing about a conversation with someone is whatever you have to say, not what you're hearing said. You see, this expression in James fits very well how the early church would instruct the believers, listening to the apostles' teaching. It was an oral instruction that caused people to hone their listening skills. You see, when I told you the text this morning and I asked if you have your Bibles to open them up so you can read along, the reality is nobody in the church except for the leader who may have been reading from a letter or reading from a Torah scroll, no one else had copies to read. You went to the synagogue, you went to the temple, you went to those places of worship, and you expected that you were going to hear teaching, and you were going to linger over every word. Now, we live in a Western culture, and we've gotten so used to all the conveniences. Some of you don't even bring your Bibles. You just flip open your phone and hit YouVersion, and boom, it's right there on your phone, which also conveniently allows you to check to see if there's any messages that have come through that you might need to respond to. Hey, I've been in your seats before. I know how that works. And I just wonder, in the culture we live in today, how much we have watered down the significance of hearing the Word of God. Really hearing it. Listening to understand, not to respond. Discussion would then follow after a rabbi's teaching so that they could clarify what they had heard and make sure that they really understood it, and the disciples would reinforce that. They took it to heart and they began seeking to live by that instruction. Jesus appeared to his closest followers continually over 40 days after his resurrection. This was a connecting all the dots of the instruction. Like the men on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24, 27 says, Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I have a feeling that Jesus initiated that pattern, and then over the next 40 days, as he met with his disciples, as he knew he was handing off the instruction for the church that would arise because of their teaching, he circled them up and he taught, and they listened intently, intentionally, with great focus. Because then, according to John 14, the Holy Spirit would take what he had taught them and remind them of these things. He would enhance their memory. He would quicken their sense of understanding so that they could then repeat it and share it with the church. Quick to listen. Quick to listen. I speak from the experience of being guilty, but I find that I'm not the only husband on the face of the planet who doesn't hear very well when his wife is speaking. And I think that nervous laughter says it all. You want to cherish your spouse? Lean into their words. Lean into their words. Understanding comes from listening carefully. Second phrase in that short little proverbial verse is be slow to speak. Well, again, if you're focusing on the listening, slow to speak means after active listening, there needs to be time to reflect and consider. Speaking means you have something to contribute, not just reacting to what has been said. For us to hear or read the Word is not just checking off a daily devotional, but letting the Word permeate us and impact how we think and how we act. Any of you use a Bible app that will read the text to you? Any of you done that, use that? Several of you have. I find that as meaningful to me personally as sitting down and reading and rereading and rereading and rereading the text in front of me. Now, it's one thing if I'm studying to prepare a message and I'm underlining and writing notes and doing those kinds of things, which is a helpful experience to be able to teach, but for the Word of God to speak into the heart of Mike Cayley, I need to hone listening to the content. This morning when I came into my study early, and I, knowing what I was going to teach, and I said, all right, Buster, time for you to step up. And I pulled up my phone, I pulled up the book of James, and I set it on the edge of my desk before I even flipped open my laptop, and I pushed play. And I listened through the entire letter. It's amazing. It's part of the nature of a preacher who's trying to break it down and preach it expositionally and breaking it down into little sections so that we can kind of dig in a little deeper. It's another thing to just sit and listen to someone read this letter by the early leader of the church in Jerusalem to the scattered believers, specifically Jewish believers, all over the Mediterranean. To hear his heart. To hear this message of challenge and encouragement. If you don't remember a thing else from this message today, if you have capability of listening to an audio Bible in some way, shape, or form, on your computer, or on your phone, or maybe you've got one of those CD sets, or you can borrow one from a library, sometime this week, sit down and in one sitting, it won't take you long, just sit down and listen to the letter of James. And see what the Spirit of God prompts into your heart and mind. And then ask yourself, what am I doing about my faith? Sometimes instead of reading the text, we need to let the Word wash over us like a refreshing shower. Let the Spirit send His guidance straight into our hearts. So the first two phrases in this proverbial verse, be quick to listen, slow to speak. If you're paying attention to those two principles and applying them, the third one almost becomes undeniable. Slow to become angry. Anger, rage, fits of rage, jealousy, anger disrupts the life of obedience to God. Anger is most often a reaction to personal goals being blocked. If I'm angry, I need to ask myself honestly, what is stirring that anger? And more often than not, it's someone or something standing in the way of what I want or what I want to do. So let me ask you a question. Do the people you work with, the people under your roof, would they describe you as a person with a short fuse or a long fuse? Everybody familiar with that concept? Short fuse is what happens to the rather stupid person who picks up a firecracker and sees barely a quarter of an inch of fuse on there and thinks, I can throw it fast enough. I have seen personally what happens to a hand when a firecracker goes off in the midst. We've seen that down at Bronson on numerous occasions. Granted, it usually is because it was mixed with alcohol consumed before that stupid decision. But a long fuse gives you time to pause and think about what you're doing. Think about what you're about to say. Think before you respond. Think if you're understanding first. Does it take a lot to get you upset? Are you covered all over your body with multiple hot buttons? All you have to do is have one bumped and you are lit. Or is your anger about knowing what God wants and desires to do in you, and you are resisting His work, and you don't like that He is prompting you to obedience when you're not ready to obey? How many times have you paused and said, I know I'm not living the way the Lord wants me to live, but I don't care. Right now, it's about me. And I'm entitled. I've been through difficult times. I deserve it. I deserve the right to just do what I want to do. I know God's not happy, but so be it. That's a seedbed for anger. And it's a seedbed for destruction and other relationships as well. Well, I want to move on down. There's a lot more content here that you will catch, especially if you listen to James this week. But the last statement I want to make about how God helps us to listen and do what He says starts in verse 22. And literally is, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You see, the word of God evokes action. And if there's no action from the word, then clearly there has been no acceptance of the word. Is it the word of God? Or is it just a religious tome for you to ponder occasionally? To say that we've accepted Jesus into our lives but not live according to Jesus' teaching is to deceive oneself. That's a quote from 1 John 2:4. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. See, knowledge, again, biblical knowledge, that's an action word. To know is to be intimately connected, to understand, to follow, to be committed to someone. So you can't say you know him and just go off walking around doing whatever you want to do. What is it that he expects of you? And are you paying attention to that? You see, that ends up coming very close to Jesus' teaching in Matthew 7, where toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he uses these two short paragraphs to summarize this concept of obedience. Chapter 7, beginning at verse 21, I'm going to read these short sections to you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. God's word says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Life is going to come at you, and sometimes faster and more furious than you ever want to think about. It'll come at you through a phone call. It'll come at you through one bad decision that suddenly catapulted into awful consequences. Life comes at us at its own pace. We don't get to choose many times. So what are we doing to prepare? Prepare by letting the Spirit plant the Word deep enough in our souls that we know what we know. We know who we know. And we're ready to walk in faithfulness no matter what comes our way. So just a couple notes on how do we take this home. I really encourage you to try using an audio Bible. There are online versions available at BibleGateway.com, certainly on YouVersion. Listen to the Word. Or if you don't have access to those technical devices or electronics, take turns with a loved one and read to each other. Maybe take a section of Scripture and take turns back and forth reading. And then just pausing to just reflect on what God's saying to you. It is His Word. It's a living Word. It's active like no other. It has the ability to pierce soul and marrow. It can get into the deepest places in our lives because it is living and active. Next time you get angry, stop and listen to yourself. Pause and consider that what it really is that has you upset. Are you not getting your way? Is someone not paying attention to you? How much of the anger really has to do with you? And then confess it. Confess it to the Lord who loves us and forgives us and understands our fits. Lord Jesus, let Your Word, Your living, powerful Word, sink deeply into us today. Let me hear its instruction and be moved to move, to act, to love, even as You have loved me. Thank You for where You are at work. Thank You for lots of evidences within this body that You are alive and active and moving and directing because of Your Word. Thank You for the privilege that we have to study it, for the classes that we will participate in a few minutes, for the instructors who will instruct. But may we walk into class with an expectation that we are tuning our ears to listen. What is it You have to say today, Lord? Help us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Lead us in the way that is everlasting and energizing from You. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. Amen.